Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Tornado Tony Pentecost.
And we got a big show. We have two guests tonight, two boxers, one pro female boxer, Tori Nelson, and a amateur boxer, I think a record of 27-4, if I remember correctly, Seth Phillips. He's been a sparring partner for some pretty big names, too. He's going to be on 8:30. And we got a whole bunch of news to cover. It's an event. We had no UFC action over the weekend, but we had a World Series of Fighting event there. We had what's being called a possible 2014 Fight of the Year with Robert Guerrero and Kamagai there. So, definitely tons of stuff to talk about. I did not watch the Guerrero fight, but did read a lot about it.
I did not see it, but I heard that it was, the whole card was pretty good, especially the Guerrero fight. But, you know, they went at it, possible fight of the year.
Definitely, I don't know if it's going to be the fight of the year officially, but they're definitely calling it that already. And we had some pretty interesting results on the undercard there, too. I'll get to that a little bit later if we have time. First off, World Series of Fighting, another event I really didn't get a chance to watch, but they actually got, I think, like 325,000 viewers, which is a record for them on NBC Sports Network, and it's pretty impressive. 365,000 viewers, sorry. And they previously had anywhere from 94,000 to 264,000. And that was some of those events previous were a lot bigger names on the card. This one, the main event was David Brands versus Jesse Taylor. Taylor tapped out due to Brabo choke in the first round at the 141 mark. So Branch got the win there. He goes to 14-3. Taylor falls to 27-10 there. We also had Rick Glenn TKO Georgi Karakinian. He retired after the second round. Amy Fugino by unanimous decision. Luis Firmino beat Tyson Griffin, also by unanimous decision. And we had Lance Palmer choke out Mick Lobosco by way of a rear naked choke with just 45 seconds left in the first round. And Derek Maimon beat Dave Hakaba by unanimous decision. Timur Valiev beat Adam Aquaviva by flying knee TKO in the third round at the 135 mark. We had Krasimir Mladenov beat Angel Deonda by unanimous decision. Ashley Evans-Smith beat Marcia Allen by TKO from elbows, the 301 mark of the third round. We had Jimmy Spacuzza beat Justin James by unanimous decision. And the first fight of the night, A.J. Williams beat Tanner Cowan by head kick and punches on KO. That was in the first round, 44 seconds in. And we have a couple good and bad stories about severe injuries. I don't know if you heard anything about this, but there was a fighter who actually died over in the UK. Lance Ferguson Braog died just hours after he collapsed in the ring following a boxing match. This was, I think, in Nottingham, no, Sheffield. Not as Irish. They don't know the cause of death yet. There's been no autopsy or anything like that. But it was just last Saturday. just after the fight and ended up dying. And then we had another story a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago now, about a fighter who had a traumatic brain injury and a crushed trachea, I think, something like that. There's actually some good news on him. He's actually recovering nicely. And there's been a fund set up through, GoFundMe. And as of the writing of this article, they'd already raised over 10 grand for his medical treatment. This is Dan Kaiser Jr. This was, I think, in North Dakota. And the family's been having other fundraisers as far as treatment and everything like that. But it was May 24th. He was knocked out and was in a coma for 10 days. He thought he wouldn't make it through the night, but his neurologist told the family he now has the nickname the Mini Miracle because they believe they should be talking about him in the past tense. But his physical condition and training actually helped him recuperate, so good news on that part. He does remain in the intensive care unit at a Fargo hospital and has over a year of intensive rehab ahead of him. So he's obviously probably not never going to fight again. And he just walked for the first time with the help of a walker and a nurse. So check that out on GoFundMe.com and donate if you have some spare change.
Yeah.
And we also have a story about some cuts in Bellator. 19 fighters were released from Bellator, and you think that this might have something to do with the new guy coming in, Scott Coker, but actually these cuts technically happened before Coker came on board. So it's kind of another possible storyline for why Redney left, maybe. Maybe he didn't agree with that wholesale cutting process there, in addition to some of the other things that they're going to change with the tournament format. He probably didn't want to do that change. But the list includes former title challengers Eric Prindle and Anthony Leone, Tricod Nick Kirk, Travis Marks, Hiroshi Nakamura, Rodrigo Lima, Sergej Gil, Jared Downing, Jason Fisher, Tim Welch, Nate Hoy, Anthony Lemon, Trey Houston, Vaughn, Keith Berry, Jeremy Kimball, Carlos Eduardo, and Eric Smith. So, it's very interesting. News out today, the Gina Carano deal with the UFC is on hold. Stalled negotiations, basically, to blame for that one. And then the same breath, there's also more encouraging news about signing Holly Holm, who's 7-0 in MMA since leaving boxing. 32 years old, and in her last fight she did win, but she suffered a broken arm, so chances are she's still working on her recovery from that. And six of her seven professional MMA victories came by way of knockout or TKO. So apparently Dana White had a change of heart because a little while back he said he was not interested whatsoever in getting her on board after dealing with some difficult conversations with their manager, I guess, because they wanted too much money. Another MMA story. Anthony Pettis is going to be the new Wheaties box guy. I think actually he's going to be the first. I'm not sure about this, but I haven't heard of any other fighters. Well, maybe some boxers, but I've never heard of an MMA fighter being on a Wheaties box. But Anthony Pettis is going to be featured on some boxes, which is kind of the pinnacle. It used to be for the Olympic athletes, but now they do all kinds of pro athletes as well. So big deal for Anthony Pettis. That's quite a big sponsor. I wonder if they have to pay the UFC the finder's fee. because the New York Senate passed some legislation just last week to create new oversight for amateur MMA in New York State. And as you might know from listening to our broadcast before, we had a guest on a few weeks ago from OfficeOn.org. So convinced me to take a amateur MMA fight down there in the New York State area, New York City. New York versus Boston rivalry show. I still don't know the dates or what's going on with that, but when I do, I will let everybody know. But Senator Joseph Griffo sponsored the bill that would establish a medical advisory board and commission to enforce rules to protect fighters. And so the bill also requires participants to have a thorough physical, neurological, and neurophysical examinations before being allowed to fight. So I'm going to have to go through a battery of tests, I guess, before I can step into the cage. Griffo said that in my advocacy for mixed martial arts, I've met many fighters and promoters. All want to make the bouts as safe as possible, not just for the fighters. However, there was a lack of consistency among amateur concepts. Promoters would include a sanction by an established and reputable organization. Profitable. Bouts that put fans and fighters at unnecessary risk. So, amateur MMA is not only still legal in New York, but now it's going to be regulated. But at the same time, professional MMA is a no-go. I don't get that. The bill also makes it a misdemeanor to participate in a fight as a fighter, referee, or judge without a license. So that also targets in there, which I'm told is pretty healthy. Not healthy as in good. For its own good, I guess. Amateur bouts are a great way for up-and-coming fighters to get real ring experience, said Griffo. I want to keep them safe while they make their way to the top, and it's my hope that the legislature will legalize professional MMA so we can show on our local fighters someday in Madison Square Garden or the Times Union Center. So, this is what it is there. We also have two big UFC events coming up this weekend. Yeah, UFC fight Swanson versus Stevens at 10 o'clock on Saturday night, and then gonna wake up really early to see the other one. Fight Night versus Marquardt is in New Zealand, so you got to be up at 5 a.m. for this one. And we got the main event there: James Tafuna, 16-7, fighting Nate Marquardt, 32-13-2. Got Soa Palele, 21-3, fighting Jared Rochot, who's 10-1. Hatsu Hayoki, 27-7-2, fighting Charles Oliveira, who's 17-4. Robert, 4, fighting Mike Rowe, 2. Sean Johnson, 9-0, fighting Jake Matthews, 5-0. Somebody's pills got to go in that one. We got Richie Vaculik, 9-2, fighting Roldan Sanchon. Vic Grujic, 6-3, fighting Chris Indich, 5-2. Neil Magny, 10-3, fighting Rodrigo Guayana de Lima, who's 8-1-1. Ian Entwistle in the second fight of the night, he's 8-1, fighting Daniel Hooker, who's 10-4. And the first leadoff fight is Sean O'Connell, 15-5, versus Gian Vellante, who's 11-5. And the other, we've got Cub Swanson versus Jeremy Stevens in the main event from San Antonio, Texas. Cub is 20-5, comes over from WEC. Jeremy Stevens is 23-9. And as I've mentioned many times on the show before, Cub Swanson's loss to Jose Aldo is one of the reasons why I never wanted to do pro MMA. I guess that's changed now. Anyway, co-main event, a couple tough guys. Keldon Gastelum, 8-0, undefeated, coming off an Ultimate Fighter win and a couple wins after that, after winning the show. He's fighting Nicholas Musoki, who's 12-2. And Andrew Craig also fighting, he's 9-2. He's fighting Cesar Ferreira, one of the Brazil Ultimate Fighters. He's 7-3. We have Ricardo Lamas, 13-3, fighting Hakran Diaz, who's 21-2-1. Clint Hester, 10-3, fighting Antonio Bravo Nieto, who's 9-1. Joe Ellenberger, who I'm not sure how, but sounds like he must be related to Vic Ellenberger. It's not a very common name, I would think. Joe is 14-1, and James Montessori, Moontasri, is his opponent. He's 7-1. And we've got Colton Smith, the Ultimate Fighter winner, who hasn't won since the show, since the finale of the show, I should say. He's 3-3, fighting Carlos Diego Ferreira, who's 9-0. And fourth fight of the night is Johnny Bedford, 19-10-1, fighting Cody Gibson, who's 11-4. We got Andy Henn, 7-1, fighting Marcelo Lima Reyes, who's 8-1-1. Shane Howells in the second fight of the night, he's 13-7, fighting Ray Borg, who's 6-1. And this has to be the most developed record of anyone I've ever seen in the lead-off fight of the night. Alexei Oleinik, he is 48-9-1, two wins shy of 50 wins in MMA, and he's fought pretty much all over the world. He even fought what looks like his own brother at one point. I was looking at his record yesterday, and he's got another Oleinik on his record, and I think the other Oleinik is also an A name too, so chances are they're probably brothers. They beat him, so he beat his own brother. Anthony Hamilton is his opponent, he's 12-2. So it should really kick off the show with a bang. Couple real tough guys there. UFC welterweight contender Hector Lombard is out of his August 23rd matchup against Dong Hyun Kim at UFC Fight Night 49. And his replacement will be Tyron Woodley, who recently had a lopsided loss to Rory McDonald at UFC 174. And this is one story we really didn't get a chance to talk about that much. About 2 weeks ago, we had a fighter thrown out of the UFC because he pushed a ref after what he thought was an early stoppage. This was Kevin Mulhall was the referee. Jason Hare was the fighter. And Dick John McCarthy, who has been kind of on the outs with the UFC off and on, he has come back in recent events and appeared as a referee, but sometimes they've kind of pushed him to the wayside, and this is probably one of the reasons why, because he's come out now and said that they were way too harsh with their punishment. And he talked to Submission Radio about the decision for them to cut high after he pushed the referee. He says, this is the referee from Big John. Absolutely, there has to be varying degrees of punishment. There has to be a punishment that is, you know, it evenly matches the crime. And the crime was pretty minimal. Jason put his hands on Kevin and kind of pushed him away. It was wrong to be taken out of the UFC. I understand what Dana White is doing, but now the question is, if John Jones would have done the same thing, would White have kicked John Jones out of the UFC? He wouldn't have. He also added, sometimes we as human beings, we do things off of emotion that we normally wouldn't do. Do I think he should have been punished? Yes. He should have had his hand slapped. He should have gotten, you know, a 5-month suspension. He should have been fined. We'll say $2,500, $5,000. That's going to hurt him, but he's going to feel it. But I think overall, Jason got treated very harshly for what happened. And he did get fined $1,500. And got a 1-year suspension from the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So, to be cut on top of that, John McCarthy's got to be right about that one. And I did apologize afterwards. I Tried to break a world record, and this is kind of funny because I didn't even know there was a world record for this. He couldn't beat it. And what happened was he was over at his gym trying to set a record for the most people ever boxing session, I guess. But he tried to get 1,000 people to break the record of 498, which took place in Australia this year. But David only got 400, so he fell 98 short, well, 99 short of the break of the record, 98 of tying it. He said, whether it breaks the record or not, I'm not that bothered. Obviously, I'd love to break the record, but even if it doesn't, the fact that his money and awareness for the Rashid Pediatric Center is great. And this was at his gym in Dubai. It was amazing to see everyone young and old, he said, to come out and enjoy themselves. Hopefully they've seen that boxing can be a fun exercise, too, without having to get hurt. It can also be a non-contact way of getting in shape and staying healthy. I'd love to make this an annual thing with more people in different sessions. Obviously, if this was how successful it will be next year. These guys will tell everyone they know, and we'll have record numbers next time. Sounds like we need to do something like this in the U.S. It shouldn't be too hard to find 500 people at the box. Like me, a lot of people didn't know this was a world record. Sounds like a good idea for a fundraiser, though. And speaking of the, talked a little bit earlier about the Guerrero versus Kamagai fight. If you've seen the CompuBox numbers, they're pretty outrageous. That makes you appreciate, even if you haven't seen the fight, how hard these two guys worked. They both combined to land 777 total punches. And that is the most combined landed punches in a fight this year, according to CompuBox. Both of them combined also to land 689 power punches, which to me is the most outrageous number of all, because that means they only landed 88 jabs combined. Go over 12 rounds, 88 jabs a round for both. Split it right down the middle, 44 jabs each. That's like 4 jabs a round, I guess. Pretty bad. So they were all loading up, I guess. I mean, I had to walk up to really confirm whether CompuBox has its numbers correct there. I would think there'd be a lot more jabs than that. 689 power punches. 89% of their landed punches were power shots. And 1,505 power punches, which is 125 per round and nearly the average for that weight class. Unbelievable. Let's see what else. And the total punches, they combined to throw 1,013 total punches, which equates to 159 per round, and that's 50 more than the weight class average. Also, the most combined 2014 fight, tracked by CompuBox. Unreal. There is an interesting story. Forrest Griffin actually had some comment that he made to a Boston Herald reporter named Jack Encarnacio. He actually championed the use of TRT. He said, "I did it. I think it's great." That's not true. The best guys don't do drugs. Anderson Silva, Javon Jones, George St. Pierre, those guys don't use drugs. They're naturally athletic. The best guys in any sport don't use drugs. It's the guys on the second tier trying to get to first tier, get to the first tier, that use drugs. He also added that he knew what he was doing. He knew it was bad for his body in the long run, potentially, and he was also doing what the doctor gave him, so it wasn't crazy. He added, there's a chance you can enlarge your heart, enlarge your prostate, lose your prostate, not be able to perform sexually after 50. So I took that into advisement in doing that. But to me, being a better fighter was worth it. It was worth even shortening your lifespan to beat something. And he also showed sympathy with Chael Sonnen, who actually retired after his showing some substances that he used to trail off TRT. He said, "I'm not one to take Chael's side often, but me and my wife were trying to have a kid, and I was on TRT for 20 months straight. Before my knee, I just quit. I was depressed, down. I just wasn't doing, I didn't notice because I was in so much pain. And also, I was just like eating donuts every day, all day, like ice cream for breakfast. That's what I do when I get depressed. I remember how awful it was. At one point, I would wait for my daughter to take a nap so I could drink some beer and eat donuts in the middle of the afternoon. But 8 months later, I actually went to the doctor and I had, like, no sperm. My body never turned itself on for, like, 8 or 9 months. And then I took HCG for 3 months, and then I was good to go." So, he's basically saying that you kind of need something to get off TRT in a healthy way, or as healthy, return to health as much as possible after you take it. So he used HCG, which I don't know that much about, but it is one of those things that athletes are using in addition to the other steroids just to compete sometimes. Pretty crazy. We also had a big glory over the weekend. And Mirko Krokop-Filipovic had quite an impressive win over an undefeated fighter named Jarrell Miller. Actually, he had one loss. Now he has two. 22-1 going in. Now he's 22-2. Filipovic goes to 23-8. He started slow but found his rhythm. Second round, he worked. Gabe Varga also had a great fight. He pretty much stole the show. He's 25-2. And what's the last thing you heard before I disconnected, Tony? What was that?
We were going over some of the fights.
Alright. I was talking about Glory. I guess I was talking about Gabriel Varga, Canadian veteran. Defeated Yod Kumpong Sikmonchai, who's 82-22-1, and also Shane Oblonsky on the same night to win the four-man, one-night featherweight contender tournament. Varga actually outlanded Sikmonchai by more than a 2-1 margin, and that was the first bout of the night. We got a 30-27 decision on the judges' scorecards, but he advanced with a lot of bruises on his thigh. from the low kicks from Sipmonchai, and Oblonsky got to the final round after beating Marcus Vinicius by about with a looping shot to the back of the head early in round one. Then got the job done in the third frame to advance with 29-26 scores. But also, Andy Rissell, who's 42-4-1, required just 35 seconds to avenge a loss to David Kyria. And that was it. And here's a story about Invicta Fighting Championship. Edion Gomez will soon challenge Invicta FC featherweight champion Chris Cyborg, and the bout will air on UFC Fight Pass as part of a new deal between the promotions. The female fighters in the UFC are more worried about showing their asses than actually fighting, Gomez told Tatami. MMA has become a new thing because of Ronda, but she's actually one of the few real fighters. To be in the UFC, you have to show your ass. They should just put some strippers to brawl in there. It would be better. So, obviously, those comments are met with a lot of controversy. She's 10-2, Gomes, but her only losses are against Ronda Rousey and Amanda Nunes. And she obviously only respects that particular pair of fighters and Cyborg. And she called a lot of the other female fighters, quote, a bunch of cans. She said, Ronda deserves to be where she is now. I don't see any fighter to beat her. The only one that could give her some trouble is Amanda Nunes. Nobody else can take her title. She's good in what she does. The others are terrible, a bunch of cans. They say this, and I'm not ashamed of it. It's ridiculous. I dream about fighting in the UFC to show the other fighters that they need to train more. Misha is good, but she should stay as a model so she can make more money. She talked about Cyborg as well. She said she likes to brawl. I have a lot of respect for her. She's a great athlete. Everybody sees that. When we get inside the cage and the bell rings, we're going to brawl to get what we want. She's better rounded compared to the time when she was the Strikeforce camp champion. She has a good takedown defense, is aggressive, and has heavy hands. I have to surprise her. I could be stupid and stand against her, but I'm training boxing for 2 years now. I'm the underdog. That's good. When people are all over you, it's dangerous because you become cocky. I want to surprise everybody. Cyborg is the best in the world, and I'm happy to fight her. No women in MMA were capable of beating her, so I will try. It's going to be a war. I always wanted to fight her, and I know that a win over her puts me at another level. So, it's about that time we get to get Seth on the phone. Seth Phillips, our first guest. So, give me a minute here. Bring him up. Find him all of a sudden. Hey, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron from Fight News Unlimited. How's it going?
It's going very well. How you doing?
I know you got a very impressive amateur record. You got any fights coming up or anything to clue us in on?
I'm actually fighting this June 28th at the Dew Burns Arena in Baltimore, Maryland.
Cool. And what can you tell us about who you're fighting?
This is my third pro fight. I think he is about 1-6, maybe. I'm not quite sure on his record for sure, but I think he's got about 7 or 8 pro fights. I was actually supposed to fight this guy my very first fight, but then he pulled out before showtime. So hopefully this time he should everything should go through. I should be able to fight him.
My amateur practices and everything, and they put me in to spar with a kid, spar for 5 minutes, and then we were supposed to fight in the main event of the big show. We were the oldest kids in the training program, and he chickened out, never showed up. But it wasn't for the event, it was kind of before that, I think.
Yeah, before that, okay, I see.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Tell us a little bit about how you got into boxing in the first place.
Well, I'm from North Philadelphia originally, so I used to be a punk back in the day. I liked to fight. After a while, I just thought, if I'm going to fight, I might as well get some. I kind of looked at fighting as a sport to begin with, so it was something at age. However, boxing. So.
All right. And what made you enjoy the sport? All right, we're back. Tony, can you hear me? How about now?
I'm good. Can you guys?
Oh yeah, my computer had the volume halfway down. That's why I couldn't hear it so well tonight. All right, so everybody can hear me.
Yep.
So I think Tony might have missed your last comment about Philadelphia. You said you grew up in Philadelphia.
Yeah. So you grew up in Philadelphia. Philadelphia guy. I actually got the Phillies on right now on my other screen. But where did you grow up in Philadelphia?
Where did I live in Philadelphia?
That's what he asked.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's breaking up over here. It's very hard to understand. I was born in West Oak Lane, then eventually moved over to East Oak Lane, and then I lived in East Oak Lane until I was 12 years old, and then actually moved to Colorado for 5 years because of my mom's job. And then in 2007, I came to Northern Virginia, where I currently reside.
I wouldn't say the Air Force Academy out in Colorado Springs for a year myself, so I've seen a little of Colorado.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty nice out there.
It's a good place to be for being up above sea level so far.
Yeah, good for the high altitude and all that. That's actually where I learned to box.
Awesome.
And compete. And,
right. I learned to box too.
Yeah, because I'm actually going to be right close to your old stomping grounds tomorrow because I'm going down to, I grew up in Cheltenham. I grew up in Cheltenham, and I'm going to be down at Fern Rock tomorrow because I'm taking the subway down to South Philly. But when I grew up in Cheltenham, and be from the ground up.
Say that again.
was just talking about...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We're just talking about...
Seth, can you hear me?
Yeah, we...
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. No, I was just talking about, you know, being in Philadelphia, so I'm going to be down in, like, the Joel Stomping Grounds tomorrow, so I'm going to be down in Fern Rock. And okay. Even though I lived in, even though I grew up in the Cheltenham, Glenside area, I trained down in South Philly.
Okay. Finally back here. Sounds like we have a little better connection. Everybody's coming in a little clearer. Did you hear that, Seth?
Yeah. I did not hear that last question from him, no.
What do you love most about boxing?
The biggest thing I like about boxing is just a little punk wolf for trouble in the league. And quit it. It was something that I kept going with. It put in me, it helped me to want to carry myself a different way just because of the capabilities that I acquired. You know, I like to fight before and walk around like a tough guy. You know, being from Philly, that's not the big thing or whatever. I need to carry myself in a different type of way, you know, since I had my first amateur fight, since I started. So it's really good skill. All I do, I'm in the gym 24/7. I'm boxing. I'm a personal trainer, boxing wise, and I'm a coach. So it's really helped me pay the bills, acquire a trade, and it just really helped me just change that look on myself, give me that confidence.
Skill pro eventually.
Definitely. Number one, no. Else. I'm not playing to another victory this Saturday. And if a knockout comes, then I'll be 3-0, 3 KOs. But again, right now, I just plan to outbox my opponent, touch him up, and get the victory, and let the knockout come if it should. Otherwise, leave looking clean.
Yeah, I guess Yano left that part out.
Yeah, I'm turned pro back in March. So I fought in March again last night and then on Saturday. So this one is making my third fight.
And do you have any role models inside or outside the sport that's really helped you out along the way?
Outside the sport, my biological father, you know, he's been there to this day. He's 53. He works out 3 days a week, but you know, he grew up in North. His mom worked in a sweatshop. He had five brothers and two sisters, and really, when he was in eighth grade, he made it to college through wrestling. When he was in eighth grade, they bust him out to the suburbs, and he was on the varsity wrestling team in eighth grade, and the Jackson University, and he was just telling me about. Yeah, me and a jump rope, we just had to go on push-ups. And he's definitely been a lot of motivation model just by how little he had and how he made the most of it. And where he turned that into something that developed his own livelihood. You know, it took him to Drexel, where he later got his degrees, and now he's an engineer. And now he's a government contractor, you know. And then also my coach, Craig Flatiger, he's just a role model. I look at him now. I try to be, he's white, but he's like my white dad. I tell everybody, you know, I'm just a little black Craig. He's what I tell everybody, you know. And then otherwise, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Awesome.
I like to study him and emulate him a lot.
Well, that leads me right into the next question I usually ask about your favorite fighters right now and of all time. Obviously, Sugar's got to be one of your all-time favorites. You got any you watch all the time now or any other all-time favorites?
I do watch boxing now. I can't really say I have a favorite now, not to sound arrogant or anything like that. I respect a lot of fighters that are out there. I like Floyd Mayweather just because he's a boxer and I'm a boxer and he's very good at what he does. However, you know, there's always everybody and all of that. I won't get too deep into that. I love James Toney and I love Sugar Ray Leonard.
Can you hear me? Rich, that's having a real hard time hearing me. So can you hear me?
Yeah, it's still breaking up.
Leonard or Mayweather?
The last thing I Mayweather.
Who do you think would win a fight between Sugar Ray and Floyd?
Oh, Sugar Ray Leonard. The reason, because, I mean, Floyd likes to fight a particular style, usually Hispanic fighters. I think Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, he had the footwork and angles, which is one thing that Floyd tries to stay. And then the hand speed and the power to go with it. And then the punch count, I mean, Sugar Ray had all of it. Methodical, you know what I mean? They're not necessarily can just think and act back. Charlie.
What you be talking about?
That's what I took.
I would
agree
in 10 and
out. Ray would take it
in
10.
You think you take it in 10? I could see him not or stopping him, but it's not he grew up with it. Box as well, but then you look at Marvin Hagler, and he can box me.
He's 48 hours away from stepping in the ring again. What is his mindset right now, and when is he going to get?
Hey, right now, as far as
yeah, I didn't hear that. Yes. Part, second half of the question, Tony. He heard the first part, so did I. But what's the second part?
Okay. What's the second part? He's 48 hours away.
So he wants to know, going into it coming up 48 hours away now, I guess. When do you put your game face on?
Oh, I kind of always have, as far as like, right now I look like I'm ready to fight. It's fight week, so I look like that all week. I'm a little bit chippy, but definitely, probably right at the weigh-in is pretty much official, you know. Once you weigh, you're all weighed in and everything, it's just like, there ain't no backing out now, you know what I mean? Not that. It's like, it's official tomorrow, it's on time, you know.
Right. Yeah,
but currently, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
You want to answer the first part? Go ahead.
Okay, as for the first part, I just visualize in my head exactly, you know, what the fight is going to be. Come out immediately. I'm going to come out and take charge. The person is to take the heart in the first round. It doesn't mean like you just go out and it's something that is physical. I mean, I'm playing out. I know what the guy looks like. You know, his eyes coming out. A lot of things trying to get him to open up. We've got a little bit. Mostly the best weapon in the first 30 seconds. So I'm going to sit back and see what that is. Try not to get touched during that time. I'll focus on his range.
See, I just go over my game plan as a 48 for that and just see it all in my head and have good and apply toward that. You know, I really believe in what I'm visualizing in my head is going to happen, if that answers your question.
Yep. Well, it's Tony's question.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite punch?
My favorite punch would be my left hook. I like to just... favorite punch. But, yeah, I love the jab as well. The jab sets everything up. It's a very good one, and it's fast. So I'm going to go with the left hook, but the right hand has given me results.
I hear somebody... some Tyson fights, and watch how he used to throw his left hook. Because that's...
Sure.
Much, I mean, other than Joe Lewis. I mean, not Joe Lewis. Back. Hopefully we can stick around this time. Hey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but it's getting really broken all during the show.
What?
I can hear you from time to time, and then I can't hear nothing.
Took me like 10 minutes. We're back. Live again.
We're back.
All right.
Okay.
So I don't remember what we were talking about. I think we were talking about favorite punches and mentioning a little Rocky Marciano, a little Joe Frazier, a little Mike Tyson.
Right. Right.
Let's see.
Yes, sir.
What's the most important thing to do to get ready for a fight?
What?
That you do to get ready for a fight?
As far as, you mean, it's all there's the box, shadow box. I mean, I just spent hours in the ring just shadow boxing, just being, with mixing my offense and my defense, and just try to make it all I'm just constantly, every day, shadow box, either with gloves or without. And then I don't touch weights and I don't run. I'm all shadow. However, I do hit the heavy bag. I mix that in as well.
Right. Yeah, that's... Okay, you really want to fight? Hoping to get a fight with?
Is there anyone that I want to fight?
Right.
Eventually, you know, I just want to fight whoever is at the top, you know what I mean? So, for now, it's very hard to, but I definitely, when the time is right, you know, fight the best, because I don't want to be approached to tough. Little, but so whoever's at the top, once I get there,
Yeah, I definitely love to see. There's some guys from the amateur fight again. Around, if that answers your question.
Can you talk about a few of the big names and name of the folks you sparred?
Some of the big names that I've sparred and fought with, you mean? You said?
Yeah. I know, Tony.
As far as... Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right?
You broke up right as you asked the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, I guess that's a theme. You fought a guy to Yano.
Last year, I lost to him at the Golden Glove Regionals in D.C. I'd like to see him again, definitely, because, I mean, me and him, like, there's respect between us, no doubt. I don't have to be hard on the fight. So he definitely like to run that back.
And how about some of the guys you sparred with?
It's been some years since I've seen them, but just being the same with probably some here with them to go up to me. But I spar with Antoine Douglas, Action Douglas, opponent. So, you know, he's big. It can be dangerous.
I'm here, but I can't hear you guys as well.
Yeah, Seth's having a hard time hearing me a couple of times, too. So.
I'm here. Back.
So we got this left, I guess, with the, how do people...
Last thing we were talking about was barring with.
Right, yeah. Do you want to continue that list?
Right, so, yeah, so I was talking about, I love sparring with Dusty Harrison. Me, Dusty, and Twan, we all like to kind of, two biggest ones I've, that I like the results that I get from them. Whoever can get their jab and get control with that first is going to be, you know, the victor of that round. More toward my weight class, so it's not that. It's been fine. Very dangerous, you know, so. I don't want to be there. I mean, time not too long ago, and he knocked some guys too. So, you know what I mean? So I don't want that to happen to me. But you know, I keep it competitive. I feel like 22-0. No answer.
You know, man. Brady, it happened so many times. Okay, we got another guest we got to have on, hopefully. Can you give us a little rundown of where can people find you on the World Wide Web? You got a Facebook page, Twitter account?
Facebook.com/Bills. It's like BILL3215. And I'm also on Twitter. It's probably easy just to search my name on there. But I'm also on Twitter. It's @KillerB.
three Z's, pound for pound. Those, that's S-B-I-S for pound. Or you could always go on a... Team Craig, everybody on deck. Shout out Antoine, Coach K. You know what I mean?
Okay, we're back. That interview goes a little smoother. It's breakups. The overcast sky's here. That's Wi-Fi.
Hello?
Hello, Tori.
Hello?
Hello, Tori. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You sound like you're far away, but I can hear you.
Okay. This is rabble-rousing Rich Bergeron here from Fight News Unlimited. We're also on the line with Tony the Tornado Pinnacal from Philly.
Hey.
Hi, how are
Hello.
You guys?
All right.
Good.
We just talked to your buddy Seth Billups. He gave you a shout-out and everything, so.
Oh, good job. But yes, I tell you, Seth's going to do his thing. We just finished training, and Seth is going to be he's looking good and strong, so this guy better be ready.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit about you. How did you get started in the boxing game?
I just went for the exercise, actually. I just went to lose weight. I wasn't looking to box anybody. I just wanted to lose weight. I was a fatty girl. I needed to get that weight off.
Yeah. Boxing does that for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, when I ran the boxing program at my college, I actually one day all of a sudden I see like 20 girls come to the practice.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what the heck is this all about? And then they start telling me, "Well, it's for the app workout." Is everybody
exactly? Exactly. We got to keep it all sexy. And boxing is the way to go.
So what's your ultimate goal with the sport?
I just want to retire, undefeated world champion, and just get all the belts I can get and open the way, you know, make a path for the ladies that's coming behind me to not have to struggle and deal with these promoters like we do and just get on these big cards and get the recognition and half the pay that the guys get. That's all I ask for. It's not a lot, but that's what I'm reaching for.
All right, cool.
Now, Tori, I know Seth had a hard time hearing me when I was trying to ask questions. I actually had that rich ass performance. Can you hear me?
I can hear you barely, like you muttering. I can hear like a little bit.
Does this sound any better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one of the same questions I asked Seth. You're also on the card Saturday night in Baltimore, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're 48 hours away from stepping in the ring. What's going through your mind right now, and when are you going to put your game face on?
Right now, it's time to pray. You know, I finished all of my workouts. It's prayer time right now. I just posted it, actually. It's time to pray and ask for my safety and for her safety, but my victory. And my face will come on tomorrow. It always come on at weigh-in or at my game time starts tomorrow.
Awesome. Sure enough, as soon as Tony asked a question, we got disconnected.
Oh, Lord. So he didn't even get to hear my answer.
I kicked him off. I'm having technical difficulties tonight. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because when I was here, he was down there so far away.
Yeah, it's actually been going pretty good so far on this interview, but we had Seth on. It kept hanging up on us and hanging up on the radio show.
Oh, wow.
It's impossible to get back on at one point. Now we're back on. Tony, are you with us again?
I'm with you.
All right. Well, you didn't hear her answer, but she said she gets her game face on tomorrow at the weigh-in.
Just like Seth.
Just like Seth. Yeah, Seth said
the same. Oh, yeah, that's what Seth said. That's funny.
Now, we'll also ask you another question. I asked Seth, what's your favorite punch?
I like body shots. I love body shots.
Good answer.
I feel like anything to the body is my punch.
Right.
I love them.
Yep. First the body, then goes the head, usually. You know.
Yes, exactly. That's it. Uh-huh. If you slow that body down, that head can't move without that body.
Uh-huh. And do you have any favorite fighters out there all time or right now fighting?
My favorite back in the day was Joe Frazier. You know, it's crazy because they say I fight like Joe Frazier, so that's a big compliment for me.
Yeah.
But I love Joe Frazier. I used to watch his fights and everything. And I like Mike Tyson in his day, but my fighter now is Andre Ward.
All right.
All right. Well, it's funny when you said Joe Frazier, because I'm a Philadelphia guy. And last week on Facebook for Throwback Thursday, it was
uh-huh.
a picture of me in 1994 when I was 17 years old with Joe and Marvis.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have another lady just started at my job, and we started talking boxing one day. She's a little bit older than I am. And so we started talking, so I pulled up my phone and showed her the picture. I was on a team with Joe and Marvis, and I told her a story that I'm going to tell you right now. And I told this probably 100 times on the air, but I think you'll like it. Back in 1994, obviously way before the days of digital cameras and cell phones and all that cool stuff that we have now, and it's a shame it happened then because there's no live video of it that I know of.
Wow.
4th of July weekend, Philadelphia, they're having a non-televised boxing card as part of like a Welcome America thing. They're having all these events, and part of it was a boxing card. And there were mostly local fighters on the card. And that night, they had two honorary guests there, Smokin' Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. And
yes,
this was I swear to God. And this was before Ali was really starting to get bad with the Parkinson's, but
uh-huh.
he was really starting to slow down. And they bring Joe in the ring first, and, of course, he's a Philadelphia guy. He's a legend. Everybody's cheering for him. And so he's in the ring, and next thing you know, they're helping Muhammad up the steps
wow.
to get in the ring. And he gets in the ring, and he's got his head down, and he's walking real slow. And he looks up, and he sees Joe Frazier across the ring, and you can see, like, the flash in his eyes. And he got on his toes and started dancing around the ring and doing the Ali shuffle. And Joe
yeah.
started bobbing and weaving, and it looked like they were going to fight all over again. And yeah, exactly. And I mean, there were grown men there crying, and
no.
it was unbelievable to see in person. Unbelievable. And like
oh
I said,
my
to this
gracious.
Day, my
no
regret
footage.
Is there's no footage that I know of.
Man.
It was amazing.
That is amazing. I would have loved to have been there.
And here's
wow.
where you're going to get a good laugh at, Julie. A couple years later, I was boxing amateur at the time, and I'm at a function, and we meet a guy, and he's friends with Joe Frazier, who's cardiologist. So I'm yeah, sure. I give him my name and my phone number. I'm not thinking nothing of it. A month or so passes, and I go in for a pretty serious knee surgery. I come home from the hospital the day before the 4th of July, and I got my leg all propped up, and I'm built up on painkillers, and I'm sitting there, and my phone rings. And we didn't have caller ID back then.
I'd pick it up because all my friends have been calling me. Hey, how you doing? You're out of the hospital. How you feeling? All the usual BS. When you're going to be able to come back to party with us again, and when we have the next barbecue. So this guy calls up, and I swear it's my friend Dave. So I pick up, and he's Tony there. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? And he goes, Tony, this is Marvis Frazier. And I swear it was Dave. And I'm like, yeah, right. All right, Dave. He goes, and he doesn't break stride. He goes, I got your number from a friend of my father's cardiologist, Dr. So-and-so. Well, my friend Dave doesn't know that. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's telling the truth. I just laughed at Marvin Frazier's face. And I'm like, Mr. Frazier, I apologize. I have to turn you over. I just got out of the hospital. I have to have my father talk to you. But, yeah, I laughed in Marvin Frazier's face because I thought he was my friend Dave.
That is so funny. Oh, my God. Only you could tell that story.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Oh, my God. He probably was like, is this guy really serious?
It is. Oh, my God. This guy's, he's like, I'm calling this guy to see if he wants to work out with us, and he's laughing at me.
Yeah.
And the other one, I'll tell you, because you did mention the name Mike Tyson.
Yeah. A
couple years, even after this, right, actually in between, because it was right around 1995-ish, about 8 or 9 months before I had the knee surgery, Marvin Frazier call. Mike Tyson gets out of prison, and he's going to fight his second comeback fight in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get tickets to the fight. It was at, I think, the old Philadelphia Spectrum. Couldn't get tickets, so I'm going to watch it on TV. Well, Mike was set to come in the week before the fight and train at one gym, and all of his workouts were going to be public. He comes in 2 weeks before the fight, and he was bouncing off to all the different rec centers. Because with the rec center, they don't open until about 3 o'clock when the kids would be out of school.
Yeah. Wow.
He was coming in around 10 or 11 in the morning, so they would, you know, bring him, open up the places for him so he could work out in private. Well, he comes to my rec center a couple days, Marian Anderson Rec Center, South Philly. He comes in there, and he works out a couple days at my rec center in private. And
wow.
He left some equipment for the guys as kind of like a thank you and to help out the young kids at the rec center that don't have a lot. So I can always say that I used Mike Tyson's jump rope. But the best part of the story was that previous summer when I first started at that gym, they had really shabby. The bags were hung up not really that well, and they were having a lot of problems with the ceiling. So my dad went down there, and he actually cut a couple holes in the ceiling, and he built joists up there so they could hang the bags. Well, when Tyson comes to the gym, his entourage basically brings his own personal 200-pound heavy bag for Mike to pound on.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So my dad still says this 20 years later, it was my joist that held Mike Tyson's 200-pound bag.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so good. Man, y'all just been blessed in the boxing world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that I get to tell, because I've been doing this a real long time, and like I said, Rich and I were within two fights of fighting each other for the national championship in 1998.
Get out.
And we happen to be doing the show now. And don't make fun of him, but he got whipped by a guy named Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I can always say that. That was my last amateur boxing match.
Michael Jordan.
What's also funny about it, Tori, is this guy looked like Michael Jordan. He looked like Michael Jordan. Here's your proof. If you go on YouTube and you type in Michael Jordan boxing, you'll see a video of me. Yeah, you'll see a video of me fighting him. That's my video. Because I fought him a month prior. And what was funny about it was we get to the show. It was at my home arena in Lock Haven. So he's from the U.S. Army team. I'm from the Lock Haven team. And we don't know this guy. You know, Army's bringing this guy down. I'm going to fight him. I don't even know what he looks like. So we're lined up to meet your opponent and, like, kind of do, like, the intro handshake BS before the card starts. And I look at this guy. I'm like, oh, my God, look at this guy. He looks like Michael Jordan. He was going by Mike Jordan.
So I'm talking to the ring announcer, who was my coach's, like, one adult son. And he's like, who are you fighting tonight? I'm like, I'm fighting this guy, Mike Jordan. He goes, okay, Mike Jordan. He's like, Mike Jordan, haha. He goes, which guy is it? And I pointed out. He goes, oh, Mike Jordan, bullshit. He goes, he's being announced as Michael Jordan tonight. And that's what we did the whole time. We announced him as Michael Jordan. You go on YouTube and you put in Michael Jordan boxing and you'll see the video of
him
fighting.
I'm going to watch that tonight.
And what you'll enjoy about it, what you'll enjoy because of what you said earlier, it's a body beating.
Yes, is it really? You let Michael Jordan beat your body?
No. No. Michael Jordan got his body beat by a Philadelphia player.
Oh, you beat his body. Oh, that's wonderful right there.
Yeah. I'm not telling you to go and you can watch a fight that I lost.
Oh, yes.
I fought him in the tournament. And then I fought him the second day, and I tried to fight him the same way I fought the first guy, but then I started to get inside and get into his game, because I usually outside. And I totally beat the first kid, and it's kind of an embarrassing story, but it's another funny one. The first kid I fought, they told me, his own teammates came up to me and said, listen, we hate this kid. We don't want him to win, so this is how you beat him. You got to move side to side because he had his legs, his feet, born on the wrong side. So his left foot was born on the right side of him, and his right foot was born on the left side of him.
Well, get up.
So they had to cut his feet off and put him on the right side. So they go, you got to jab him and just move side to side on him, you'd be fine. So I pretty much jabbed the whole fight. And the kid hit hard, but, I mean, they were right. He couldn't move that way. So.
Wow.
I ended up beating him, and the judge even came up to me after the fight, and he said, you know, the jab won you that fight. So I should have kept fighting that way, but Michael had that inside game, and I just fell right into it. He hit me with a bunch of uppercuts.
Wow.
And what was
that
funny about the kid
something.
About the kid Rich was just telling you with the bad feet. I fought him a month prior in the East-West Classic and in Reno where he was from. So I get out there, and the whole time I'm worried about my weight because I was told that you got to be like 178, you got to be 178. And I get on the flight, I'm 182, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm 2 pounds.
Wow.
I'm 4 pounds over. You know, so I get there, but the whole time I shook, and I was nervous during the flights out from Penn State to Reno. I lost 4 pounds during the flight.
Oh,
so
my
I get
God.
To make weight. Yeah, what's he weighing in at 185? I said, why the hell do I have to be 178? I was mad about that. So I go there, and we're gonna fight, and as I'm walking to the ring for the intros, a couple of the Reno fans were like, we hope you die tonight. I said, oh, really?
Wow.
Now, I said, you know what, now this kid's getting introduced to Philly style. First round, I blasted him with a left hook, and he buckled, and the ref stepped in, didn't give him a count, but he stepped in, and this kid shook it off, and I said, oh, shit, I think I just broke my left hand. I said, primary weapon one, gone. So second round, I blasted him with a right hand, and he buckled again. I said, I got this boy. He shook that off. I said, primary weapon number two, gone. I couldn't hit him in the third round. I had no hands left. But if I would have used like a skill game instead of a getting pissed off in the crowd, I would have kept my game plan and I just would have boxed his ears off.
Exactly.
But here's one more celebrity story for you before we go back to the original for the interview. Same card, Reno, Nevada. I have to be in like, the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the right time. I don't know. But we're walking into the show, and I got my gear bag, and I got a jacket with my name on it, and I'm walking in with my dad. And the line is out the door. They're only seating like 3,000. The line is out the door. So I see this guy there, and he's at the way back of the line. He had a few drinks in him, and he looked famous, but I couldn't picture from where. He looked, the best way to describe him is he kind of resembled Dave Chappelle, but it wasn't Dave Chappelle because I knew Dave Chappelle. But he looked a little bit like him, but he looked famous. And he's sitting there talking to me, man, I like jacket, and you're fighting where you're from. Oh, you're from Philadelphia. I've heard so much about Philadelphia, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, hey, man, can I walk in with you? And I said, man, I can't let you in the fighter's engine. I'll get in a lot of trouble. He said, don't worry, I'll see you inside. And I looked at his line, and I'm like, man, it's up to advance. I'm like, yeah, I'll see you inside. I'm like, he ain't going to get in. So we go back to the dressing room. We put our warm-up gear on, and they're bringing all the fighters to the ring to shake hands with your opponents. So I'm walking out there, and the guy just told me he hopes I die, and I tell him to F off. I walk up, and this guy's got a private table set up, literally right outside of my corner. And people are, he's having drinks. People are coming over and getting pictures with him, and people are like, oh, and stuff. And I'm like, and the guy's like, hey, man, all right, go get him. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? You know, he looks like somebody famous. I don't know who he is. So the fight card's over. He comes up to me. He's like, man, you won that fight. I don't care what the judges said. They ripped you off. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm getting pumped up. I'm like, yo, buddy, can we get a photo together? He's like, absolutely. It'd be my honor. Great. So we don't have digital cameras in 1998. We have cheap film cameras.
Yeah.
And I go home. I develop my photos. And none of them came out because I had a bad roll of film in my camera. 20 years later, I don't know who this guy was.
Are you kidding me?
Swear to God. From 1998, I still have no idea who he was.
That is crazy.
I was gonna go out to a show when I was in Vegas a few months ago. I was going to walk around and be like, oh, so-and-so goes to like a lot of these boxing shows. I'll just walk over. I'm like, oh, yeah, were you at the show in 1998? Yeah. Do you remember me? I'm the guy that won that fight that got ripped off.
And then my dad
almost gets in a fight with Judge Mills Lane. You know, he curses him out because Mills was a Reno guy, and Mills was the MC of the night, and Mills was cheering against me, and my dad's cheering for me. Mills was like, your son's kicking that guy's ass. And my dad's like, yeah, I know. And he goes, but he's taller than the other guy. My dad's like, no, my son's the shorter kid in the red trunks. Oh, your son's losing. My dad's like, you're drunk. God damn it. He goes, cursing the whole out. I'm like, oh, great, Dad. International scene at the East West Classic.
Oh, my God. You guys are something else. Oh, my God.
I got to meet Mike Tyson when I was out in Vegas not too long ago, a couple of years ago now, I guess. And
cool. Yeah, I've met him a few times. Now, whenever he comes here, like, he'll ask for me to come and visit, you know, come and see him.
Uh-huh.
So it's really cool.
Yeah, if he warms up to you, yeah, he's a pretty good guy.
He's a very nice man. I love him. He is so nice.
He was in the autograph line. It was like an autograph signing, so.
Uh-huh.
I brought my own glove, and it was a Muhammad Ali signature glove. The Muhammad Ali signature was already printed on it at the factory.
Oh, wow.
So I told him the reason why I brought that glove for him to sign was because Muhammad Ali said on the Arsenio Hall show that Tyson would have beat him. And he just looked at me and goes, man, I can't beat anybody. And I gave him my
glove.
And I said, I'd love to have you on my radio show. And he gave me this look like, you're crazy. He goes, I don't know, man.
Wow. That is amazing. That is a wonderful glove that you got. Both of them signed. Oh, my gracious.
Well, the Muhammad Ali signature isn't real, but it looks real. It looks like he did it
in
Japan.
But, wow. That's good right there.
I got to get some more signatures on that one. Anyway, Tori, we've been hogging this one, so we got to get back to you.
You guys are funny.
So, what's your ultimate goal with the sport?
Just to open the doors for the women that's coming. That's it. I just want to be able to get the women the pay and the recognition they deserve, that we all deserve. We deserve it just as much as the guys do.
All right. And do you have role models inside or outside the sport that really helped you out along the way?
You know, it's funny, but my role model is my mother and my grandmother because they are strong women, and they tell me what you put your mind to do, you can do it. So, I mean, I just pray. My grandmother always say, you stay prayed up. And so I pray, and I just go and do what I know I can do. So, and I look at everybody that's in the box, and I watch everybody, and I see, you know, I'm like, they work just as hard as I do, and they doing exactly what I do. So I know I can do it. I can do it. And I know I'm strong just like they say I am.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, it's the same thing with me, sort of, because my mom died when I was young, but she was such a great lady that, you know, the whole family looked up to her, and she was one of the oldest sisters in the family, and she did a lot of charity work. She was a nurse, and when she died, my grandmother came in and raised us. And,
exactly. They're strong women. I'm telling you, they are strong women.
My older sisters used to beat the shit out of me back in the day. My grandmother would say to me, one of these days, you know, you're going to get older, and you beat them up. And sure enough, sister, but she was right.
You done got older, and you can beat her up.
Yeah. So that was one of the reasons why I got into boxing, really. So
no way. So you can beat your sister.
I didn't feel it. You know.
She was getting you ready, that's all. She was just getting you ready.
I guess so.
You guys are too funny. Lord have mercy. That's funny. Yeah, you have children? They box?
No, I don't have any kids. Tony's got no kids yet. We got to get busy, right, Tony?
y'all got to get some children. Get them in the ring.
Yeah, well, Tony and I keep talking about we got to fight each other one of these days since we never got a child.
Oh, yeah. Make time there.
They got a place in Philadelphia right outside of Philly, and they've been doing fights there. It's a place for the Valley Forge Casino. It used to be the old convention center, which is where my actual high school graduation was. Now it's a casino, a hotel, and they got a country western bar there. It used to be just a regular nightclub. I said, if I ever come out of retirement, that's the best place to fight, because I can fight. Then I can walk down a hallway, not go out the way.
Exactly.
And go to this place and jump on the mechanical bull and buy the mechanical bull.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I said, I can walk down the hallway and go up a flight of steps, and I can end up in the casino playing craps while pretty girls bring me drinks, and I can without going outside.
Wow. Y'all gotta have me there for that.
Yeah.
That would be too much.
Now, what's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight, Tori?
Say it again.
What's the most important thing that you'd say you do to get ready for a fight?
Oh, the most important thing is to stay just trained and focused. I pray, I train, and I focus. Then I know if I win it in the gym, I'm good. My trainer always tell me, don't try to win it the night under the lights. You win it in the gym.
Right.
So I was like, you know, I got this. Okay. So I work extremely hard in the gym. I work hard. And the guys that I train with, they push me hard. And then I know, like, when I get to the fight, that I'm okay.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's one of the reasons why I got to the Nationals in the first place, because when I went down.
Yeah.
I had a club team at my school, and I coached it, you know, so we just did some fights on campus, but we really didn't go off campus for anything. And then I got to go to an exchange program with Virginia Military Institute, and our first scrimmage was with the Naval Academy. So I get down there, and I'm way out of shape, you know, but I've been boxing since I was a kid, so I think, you know, I could beat anybody. I get in there against a Naval Academy kid who's been going through the freshman system, running around like a chicken with his head cut off. And he kicks my ass so bad, I quit the fight, you know, even though it's a scrimmage. No big crowd watching. I just still like it.
Wow.
So I left the ring, and then sure enough, I get the same kid in the regionals like 6 months later.
Get out.
I've been running 7 miles every Tuesday and 3 miles.
Telling you. Exactly.
All kinds of working out, and so I see the same kid, and he's got this big grin on his face. You know, like the body shots, you know. So he hit me the body enough times, he'd probably take me out again. They had no idea I was in much better shape this time.
You was ready, huh?
Yeah, I busted him up good. Probably the worst I ever beat anybody in a 3-round boxing.
Good job. But is that those Navy Academy kids and the Army, all those boxers, oof, their cardio is crazy.
Yeah. Actually, when I was a freshman, I went to the Air Force Academy. And back then, they were winning the national championships almost every year. And
wow.
Before that, it was Naval Academy every year because they had probably the oldest boxing program in the whole country.
Uh-huh.
And then Air Force Academy stopped making it mandatory for freshmen to take boxing lessons.
So
kind of fell off after a few years. But it was a great program out there. The coach out there, I think, is still going.
That's awesome.
I did some research, and I am going to tie in a great one for you, Tori. You're going to love this.
I can hardly hear.
Can you hear me better?
I said again?
Can you hear me better?
Okay, yes, I can hear you.
Okay. About 7 years ago, I'm taking my dad to a fight card in Philadelphia. Blue Horizon, legendary Blue Horizon. It's Father's Day. We're coming up to Father's Day, and I said, Dad, you're sitting in the front row tonight. So I take my dad, I get him front row seats. We go to our actual physical seats, and Michael Spinks was in my seat.
Wow.
Michael Spinks is sitting in my seat. Well, I can't kick Michael Spinks out of the seat. You know, I can't do that. But he's a former heavyweight champion of the world. So I was like, you know what? There were two seats, actually more centered in the ring. There were two open seats. So me and my dad jumped in those two seats, which were probably his. So there was a female fight on the card that night, the second and third fight of the night. And these two girls are going at it. And one of the girls from Philly was starting to get a little tired. And the girl hits her with a right hand, and her mouthpiece comes flying out. They always say karma's a bitch because that mouthpiece would have landed in my lap. It landed in Michael Spinks' lap.
No.
But the best part of the whole story, the girl from Philly, you fought her in her last fight.
Michelle Garland.
Michelle Garland.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
No.
6 degrees.
Yep, and I covered that card for Fight News Unlimited. I'll have to send you my coverage of that. I still have the archive.
That is amazing. And her
I was looking at your box rec record, and I was like, boy, I recognize some of these names. Obviously, Mia St. John, you know, you just beat her, stopped her in two rounds. And I was looking at that one. I said, what's funny about that one is Steve Smoker was the referee.
Uh-huh.
I was hanging out with Steve the night before that because he refereed a card in Philly the night before that. And I know Steve. And we had him on the show, and I was talking to him and BSing with him. And he's, we were talking because the night before the night he did our show, the next day we were talking because I was flying out to Vegas for the Pacquiao fight.
Wow.
And we were talking about that. And then I looked at him, and I'm like, oh, my God, May 17th. I'm like, that was the night after I went to the fight. I'm like, oh, Steve Smoker. And I was talking to him the night before.
I'm
looking more at your card to see if I know anybody else that you fought.
Yeah, look at me. That is cool.
Now, Tori, speaking of people that you fought, is there anybody you could say was the toughest woman you ever fought?
Oh, my gracious. The toughest girl I fought was Bashan Living. Wow, that girl, man, dropped her 3 times. She would get up and still come right in my face, and we would be banging again. And like the 8th through the 10th round, she had tears rolling. She wasn't crying. They were silent tears. But this girl gave all she had. She was not quitting. That was the hardest fight that I think I ever had.
And what's been your best moment in the sport so far?
My best moment is just winning, being undefeated. Just every time they say, and still, undefeated champion. Oh, my God, that just runs through my blood. I get goosebumps when they say it. I love it.
It's a good feeling, ain't it?
I'm telling you, it is. It is. Oh, my God. I just get so excited. Yeah.
And what do you love most about the sport?
I love, the fact that I relieve my stress. I'm never stressed. I'm always happy. People be like, why do you smile all the time? Because I'm happy. How can I have stress if I'm banging this bag every day? And I fight these boys every day. So talk to somebody that keep me in shape, and I mean, I'm happy, I'm stress free. It's just good. It's a good sport. If you travel, it's good. I love it. That's fun to me.
Yeah, it's definitely a great stress reliever. That's for sure.
Yes, it is. I tell these women, shoot, y'all paying all these counselors and shrinks and all this. You gotta go to the gym, join the gym, and bang on that bag. Yeah. It's much cheaper.
And you know what? And funny you say that, because I say the exact same thing. I said, because I grew up, I was a rambunctious teenager, and I always wanted to fight with somebody or do something stupid. And I think now, I said, boy, I was stupid. I said, I could have gotten a lot of trouble. But the second time,
exactly.
You don't know who's carrying. You don't know who's carrying a gun. You don't know who's running the gang. And I work out with younger guys all the time, younger kids. And you're angry? What are you angry about? Well, I was in school. This and that happened. I said, you're angry. Now you want to go cause ruckus? I said, no. You come over to my gym. I said, meet my friend, Mr. Heavybag. I said, he don't carry a gun. He don't run in a gang. He ain't going to call the cops on you. I said, you can feed him until you are so tired. You don't want to go out tonight. You want to go home and go to bed. And I said, you know what? Tomorrow when you're angry again, come see him again. He'll be waiting for you.
Yeah, it's much cheaper than paying for all those lawyers.
Exactly. And it's a lot cheaper than paying all those lawyers, and a lot less stressful than being carried in a casket.
Exactly. I'm telling you. I love it.
All right, Tori, we got to kind of wrap it up here in a couple minutes. Is there anybody out there you want to give a shout-out to or say hello to?
I want to first thank God for everything. I thank you guys for giving me this opportunity. I thank my team, my Craig. That's my rock. We call him the doctor because he just makes Frankenstein.
That's right.
Yes, so I want to thank my trainer. And a special shout-out to Ponytail Promotion for just looking out for females. Thank you, Ponytail Promotion, for giving me the chance and just blessing us and keeping me fighting. And all my fans, I just thank them too.
Now, Tori, we usually have a guy that's a third co-host of our show called Psychic Tom. He couldn't be on the show with us tonight, but he's a psychic, and he always talks about going into his crystal ball. So if I can take a page out of Tom's book, Tom, shout out to your buddy. Tom would say right now that he's looking into his crystal ball, and in 48 hours, we're going to hear and still undefeated.
Amen. I'll take it. Thank you so much.
Now, one final question. How do people find you out there in cyberspace? You got a Facebook page, Twitter, anything?
Yes. Follow me on Facebook.
I just friend requested her.
Did you? Yes, I'll be your friend. I stay on Facebook. Tori Nelson, or you can go on to my Twitter, is Tori Shownuff, or you can just go on my webpage, www.torishownuffnelson.com.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for stopping by and chatting with us. Sorry we called the interview a little bit, but...
Oh, I loved it. You guys are too funny. Thank you for the stories.
Well, good. And when we accept this on the Facebook, I'll send you some of those photos with Joe Frazier and a couple of the other guys. I think you'll really like them. And I'll even send you the video with me and Michael Jordan.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to look forward to it.
All right.
Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you. Y'all be blessed, okay?
All right, you too.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. So we got 2 minutes left there. And
it was funny, Rich. No technical difficulties with that one. Would you fix your Skype or something?
I don't know. Maybe the clouds cleared or something. But
who knows?
That was weird. It didn't even hiccup once.
Yeah, and it didn't hiccup once, and I could hear her clear as day. Now, when we had Seth on the show, like he was talking, but it sounded like he was in a tunnel, and then sometimes it sounded like it was almost like when you get like a broken record, like ep. I was getting that, like it was almost like skipping, and I had to have you read my questions because I he couldn't hear me.
Oh,
Yeah. Well, boy, everything was clear as day.
Now, on Blog Talk Radio's end, too, because sometimes when that happens, it'll prevent you from connecting to the show.
Right, right.
So, who knows? But I got to run through a couple things real quick here. Scott Casper, former guest of ours, big wrestling guy, he just won a major award there, the Ed Aliverti Golden Microphone Award.
Nice.
So good for him. Heather Hardy actually was mentioned on Fox and Friends this morning. I just caught the video. The Amazing Kreskin. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he's like a mentalist.
I have.
Apparently he's helping her prepare for her next fight by helping her, I guess, hone her mind so she can anticipate the punches before they come, he said. So I thought that was
okay. Works for me.
We just talked to Heather Hardy just a few weeks ago, so figured I'd mention that. It's kind of a weird thing. Lou Duva was just honored down in Paterson, New York, or New Jersey, I should say, the hometown of Hurricane Carter, who was also honored, along with a couple other big-name boxers from the area. Shane Mosley just had a big event out in the high desert, Victorville area in Nevada. And it was an MMA fight, 12 MMA bouts. I guess this is upcoming. It hasn't happened yet. I don't have the date right in front of me. And let's see. Rosie Sexton, former British female fighter, seated at UFC, is calling it a career, retiring. And
all right. Before my 10 seconds goes up, hasta la vista, baby. Thank you guys for joining. Rich, next week, all right?
Yep, adios.
I'll have my earpiece.
All right,
later.
Bye. Thanks for our guests, by the way. Good show.